Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will help us stop blaming women for everything that's going wrong in their relationships. Well, Nicole, we're so glad you're back. Everybody missed you last week, but you were partying, so that's all good. It's all good.
I'm not even partying. That does not even count as partying. There was no party for me. I'll tell you why, because my night was hijacked, okay? It was very, very simple. My night was supposed to be nice. It was supposed to be just me and my wife. And then the night before, I was telling, because my sister-in-law was going on vacation with my godson, with my nephew. And this is Lisa's sister. And she said, because we were supposed to have cake for Lisa's birthday on Saturday the 15th. So at this time of year, I mean, people that have listened to the show before, you know, or have been consistent listeners know that the 15th is my mother's birthday, the 13th is my wife's birthday, and the 14th is Valentine's Day. So those 3 days are really, really tough. You know, just busy. Not necessarily that they're you know, horrible. But they're just very busy days. So I worked it out where I said, okay, Mom, we're going to celebrate your birthday the day after your birthday on Sunday. We're going to celebrate Lisa's birthday on Saturday because Lisa wanted to snowboard. So we figured, you know, we'll go snowboarding in the afternoon. We'll go home. We'll have cake with her family. It'll be nice on Saturday night. But her real birthday was Thursday. So I said, listen, you know what, we're not going to do much. She was on board with it. I'm ready for just dinner. Now, on Wednesday, my sister-in-law, who's going on vacation, says, oh, Jaden's not going to be able to come to the party on Saturday because he's with his dad and we're leaving Sunday for Florida. So I said, okay, I'm really sorry that you guys are not going to make it. And Lisa says, why don't you stop by before you put him to bed? Jaden goes to bed at 8:30. Okay. So Lisa says, why don't you come by before you go to bed? This way I can see him before he leaves. And Lisa said, oh, well, didn't you just say Nikki was making dinner? What's for dinner? So I'm like, whatever's whatever. Okay, fine. You know, he's 16 months old. He's not going to eat much. My sister-in-law's a pain in the ass, but okay, fine, or whatever. They can come for dinner. And the whole plan was still just make dinner at 6 o'clock. Get on the show from 7 to 8, and then, you know, see them for about a half an hour before you had to go to bed, and then send them on their way. So all of a sudden, 3 o'clock on Thursday comes along, and I get a text message from my sister-in-law saying, by the way, my mom's coming for dinner too. Okay, so now I've got to go and get more food, so I run out and I grab more food, and now I'm running around panicked because I still have things to do. And then about, I don't know, 5 o'clock-ish, I get another text message from Lisa's other sister. Do you have room for two more? I'm like, I guess more the merrier. You know, like, what am I going to say? I can't have one sister without the other one. I can't let my nephew without my niece. So here I am trying to race home, get dinner together. And Lisa said, what are you going to do about the show with all these people here? So I said, listen, I'm just going to have to get on the show, explain to Cindy that I'm going to have to just cue her up like I did the night that I had my business dinner, get her all situated for the rest of the night, and then I'm just going to have to go and take care of everybody. You know, there's nothing else I can do about it. So she said, okay, great. So I did my thing, okay, and at one point I set an alarm on my phone, okay, with about 10 minutes to go so that I can go and get myself together. If only my phone were in the kitchen where I was cooking and not on the charger in the bedroom. So I literally went through the entire night completely, like, lost track of time, okay? I'm sitting on the couch with Lisa, this and that and everything else. It's probably about midnight. I mean, it may have even been the next morning when she woke up for work, because that's like 3 o'clock in the morning, so there's not much of a difference there. And she's like, oh, by the way, what did Cindy say? I said, what did Susan D. say about what? And she's like, about just queuing everybody up for the show. I'm like, oh. And then it dawned on me that I never did anything. So, yeah, so it was not like a fun, it was not like, woo, no, it was not that. It was literally just craziness.
Wow. And, you know, I figured as much something like, I thought maybe you'd fallen asleep, actually. You know, like, you know,
yeah,
you lie down
sleeping
for 10 minutes and then it's
enjoyable.
The next morning. Uh-huh. And, you know.
That would have been more enjoyable than what I had to go through. Instead, I had to cook for people that weren't invited. My romantic night with my wife was taken by a 16-year-old. And my mother-in-law, pretty much, you know. So I had a couple of glasses of wine, and you know, I kind of rocked, you know, like just kind of, I didn't want to be pissy about it. And I told you this when we were talking back and forth during the week. You know, like there was a time where Lisa wasn't really that close with her sisters. You know, like they were close, then they weren't, then they were, then they weren't. And, you know, there was a time I remember, you know, celebrating Lisa's birthday, and she was lucky if her sisters even called her for her birthday, you know, or like one of those things, oh, yeah, yesterday was your birthday, happy birthday, you know, type of thing. So, you know, the fact that they kind of hijacked the night and everything else, I mean, it made my wife feel special and feel like her family wanted to be around her. So I didn't, you know, I didn't put up too much of a stink about it. I just kind of just let it go and, you know, enjoyed everybody's company, so.
Wow. Well, you know, we're just glad you're back online. And
oh,
today,
yeah.
I can't believe that we have our show on, it's 02-2020. So, like,
I know.
I mean,
and
that's
actually,
amazing.
I have one shout out to do. You especially and the rest of the regular listeners have heard me speak about my friend Carol, who has passed, and she's part of the reason
sure.
why. Yeah, she's part of the reason why my wife and I are together. She was a very, very dear friend of mine who was taken from us too soon. And today is actually Carol's birthday. And I just want to give a shout out to her. And I would just want to say wherever she is that, you know, I hope that she's sending me some smiles and we miss her. We love her. And happy birthday, Carol.
Okay. So we got those two important events in one like show tonight. That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow.
Yep.
And my clients that I was reading at 02-2020 at 2:20 were jumping up and down, freaking that they were here at that time.
Yeah,
you know?
Right? It's nuts. It, like, I felt like I was, when I was typing the date today, I felt like I was typing binary code. That's all zeros and ones, but still, it looked very similar.
Well, it's all good, and we're very excited. And, you know, I'm just glad that you were all fine and good. And,
yeah.
You know, it all worked out okay last week. So we do have a lot of listeners, and, boy, my blog talk just, like, blew off my screen. So you're going to have to hit the first one because I have to, like, reboot it for some reason. It just disappeared.
Oh, no worries. I got this. Look, I'm here.
That's why if that had happened last week. When, remember I said it all went well when I was doing it last week, and then all of a sudden it all disappeared.
You would have died if it happened last week.
They're just showing me that, boy, in a second they could make this whole thing go down,
okay.
And they didn't do it to me last week, you know? They didn't make the whole thing go down.
For that. They weren't cruel. But,
no.
All right, cool. So we're going to go to the first caller. As usual, I do not screen the first call. Please don't be crazy. And if you're going to be crazy, please be our kind of crazy. Just so that you know that I'm identifying you, the last four digits of your phone number are 8761. Like, Cece's waiting for us there. And you say hello when I say the lovely words, but you are on the air, 8761. What's your name? Hello? 8761? You press the number one. We're talking to you.
Okay. We'll give you one more second. And then we'll move on to
one doesn't want to talk. So now we're going to move on to the person that's been waiting the
okay,
second
let's
longest.
Make sure we describe to people, if you want to talk, press one.
Yes.
If you
don't want to talk, please
don't press one.
Yep.
You know, I don't know why they don't tell you that when you call in. But
they used to. Back in the day they did that, but now we have to say it. So.
And we didn't even know it until Jean Steele let us know, because she's like our other like assistant who fills us in.
She is like the blog talk mayor. She knows what shows are on, when, who's doing what, and how many times people have gotten blown off the air, how many times they've gotten error messages, the volume of our microphones. Jean knows everything.
Oh, and I do have to say something to Jean before we, like, go to the show. You know, Jean and Jackie, you know, when I did my last, like, live group reading at the Rooster Cafe in Bellport, they were so upset because it was sold out. And so they ordered the tickets right away for the Miller Gin, and I'm like, oh, that's not going to sell out. It's a lot of people. Well, it sold out almost four weeks in advance. So they were right about it. So, Jean, you were smart to buy them right away. I'm like, nah, they're not going to all sell out, you know. And as a matter of fact, my best friend wanted to bring eight people with her. So I said, I made the number of what was the amount that I wanted, the largest number. So I can get you in because I'll just tell them I'm upping it by 10. So I got her in, you know.
That's awesome.
Was like, I can't believe I can't go. I go, oh, yes, you can. So here we are. Now we have the 519, last 3924. Can you just, if you maybe grab that one up?
Well, hopefully they'll speak to us, though.
So. Hello, we'll just keep going down the line.
Hi, Nicole and Cindy. It's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Yes, Jennifer. I thought that was you. We knew you were kind of good crazy. We want the good crazy girl on.
You got it.
We're kind of crazy. You know what I mean? You know, we're very suspect of people that aren't a little crazy, you know? So how are you? And you were starting a new job, right, and all of that?
I started a new job. I got fired in
January.
Oh,
great news. Why would anybody fire you? What the hell's the matter with the world? Okay, tell us how you got fired. What did you do?
They wanted me to drink the Kool-Aid, and I'm not much of a Kool-Aid drinker.
Okay. So, all in all, it just is better that you're not there. And I didn't think you were going to be that happy there anyway, by the way.
No.
Here's what I did yesterday. Mm-hmm.
I said, God, you know, because I did get a temporary job, but it was doing admin stuff, and I'm not very good at it, and I don't like it. And it was only for 3 months. So I said, God, can you give me something better than the admin job? Because I really don't want to do it. And then today I got a phone call, and they said, we leveled you up one. You don't have to do the admin job, and we're going to give you a longer contract.
Okay.
So ask and you shall receive.
Wow, good. So all in all, things are okay then, that way.
Things are okay that way. Here's my problem. This is for everyone, I think, that has the same problem as me. So this is more of a generalized question. I'm so indifferent to everything and everyone. How do you open your heart up again?
You know, that is a really good question. Opening up our heart again is not always easy, and yet the best way to do it is to look back in your life and recognize that you didn't trust your gut a lot of times, that the universe was warning you about things, and we kind of ignored it. So if we want to keep an open heart, we also have to keep awareness of our gut, because that will protect us. Our gut will tell us when people aren't good. Except it's true when we love people or like them, then our judgment gets off. So that's when you might have to trust a friend or, you know, someone that you really trust to tell you, no, we don't really like that person or we're getting a bad vibe. But maybe they're getting something with their gut. So, yeah, we're going to get hurt and the world is not an easy place. But maybe if I mention this, talking to dead people is brutal because most people really regret they didn't love better, that they didn't open their heart to love. Nobody regrets loving. Nobody regrets getting their heart broken up there. They regret that they could have, would have, should have loved better and that they sealed off their heart to not love. And so learning to open our heart again is something you could start with baby steps, like maybe just open your heart a little larger to your children. Maybe, you know, be more warm with an old lady you meet on the street or a young child, a little smile. Like, start with small gestures of opening the heart, because the problem is once you seal a heart closed, it's not that easy to open again. So it's natural to protect yourself a little bit with it. But think about, where's your courage? How do we stay not filled with fear, because getting hurt, you know, you're walking the path of fear. I'm afraid to get hurt. So I'm going to walk the path of fear, and I'm going to put barbed wire and guard dogs around my heart, and I'm not going to let anybody in. Well, that's walking the path of fear. We need to walk the path of love, and walking the path of love is a little leap of faith, a little bit of hope, and it's also courage. Okay, we have to have the courage to love. We have to have the courage to get back in the game. Think about the way babies, when they have to learn how to walk, they fall 100 times. They hit their head. They get hurt. They don't feel pleasant to fall. And yet they get up and they all learn to walk. Most grown-ups, probably 90% of grown-ups, if the world was reversed and we learned to walk when we're 50, they'd be like 10% of people walking. Everybody else would be in a wheelchair. They'd be like, I fell three times. I'm not getting up and doing it again. So I've known you a long time. You just need to go in there with courage, with your eyes open, with awareness that 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great on the planet, and I recognize that. And I'm going to look if they are manipulative, judgmental, not accountable, if they seem to be sometimes good, sometimes not so good. I'm going to notate that now because I'm older and I'm wiser, okay? I want to be with the 30% of genuinely good people. And that's who the world will begin to send our way. Once we learn and once we've been hurt, God doesn't want to keep getting us get hurt, by the way. We keep getting hurt when we don't learn the lessons, when we still think we're going to fix people. And, you know, if you want to open your heart, don't be a fixer, please, because then you're only going to get people that need fixing, that are going to hurt you. And so, you know, look for people that have done their inner homework, that have done their healing. And we all can recognize a healed person pretty quickly, okay? We just can. And so, you know, sometimes we're magnets for unfixables. But if you see the traits, don't ignore them. You know, I know with you, you've ignored your, you know, red flags a lot with people. So no more ignoring red flags. I also tell people who have been hurt before, the judgment goes down when we like people, like I said before, but when you go out on a date or when you meet someone for the first time or two, write down any red flags that you see, because we tend to forget them, we tend to push them away, and read over them and pay attention. It's basically, like, I'm the least jaded person you'll ever meet, although I'd say all day long, 7 out of 10 people aren't great, and they will hurt you if they can. But I'm not jaded. Perfect strangers come to my house every day for readings. Must mean I'm not jaded and I've opened my heart, but I trust my gut. And my gut tells me who's coming here and who's not. And so trust your gut, would you please? And open your heart to love again.
All right.
And,
I will.
And you know what? You don't want
to
be alone.
I think my heart's
you?
Open to strangers.
Oh, would you open it to strangers, you said?
Yeah, like, you know, you said you grin at a kid or you help
right.
an old lady across the street. That kind of stuff, I think I'm okay. It's just, I don't even know if it's my heart is closed. I just have zero expectations of anybody.
Okay, so now you're jaded. So that's what I wanted to hear. I don't want you jaded. How did I not become jaded? I trust my gut. And when my gut tells me somebody's good, I'm warm, I'm open, I let them in. If I'm not sure, I lay back a little bit and I let them talk for an hour. In an hour, I'll know they're a son of a bitch, okay? In an hour, a judgmental son of a bitch can't help but reveal themselves. And now I know who I'm dealing with. So what's happening is you're getting jaded, and that's what the unfixables want. They want you either Pollyanna, where you think everybody's good and then they could pull the wool over your eyes and hurt you, or they want you jaded because now you're going to drop dead. You don't even want to get out of bed. You're depressed. And, you know, you won't even bother to try to make the world a better place because you're so depressed. So you're in the jaded stage. So we want to get you out of the jaded stage. Now, we want you to have the innocence, not of a child, because a child is innocent and can be hurt, but the innocence that you still maintain because you do know what the world is comprised of. And yet, when I meet a good person, I am still innocent and open and trusting, and I let them into my world. And again, it's trusting your gut. And what's the worst thing that happened? And then you're wrong, and there you go again, and you let the wrong person in. Okay, so you learn. You learn, you move on, but you don't keep, you know, making it so that you kick yourself in the head that you were so stupid, okay? Sometimes people are really, they can fool us for a little bit. But you're not happy being alone, are you?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, I hope you're happy alone to the extent that you don't mind doing things alone. Like, I actually love to be alone, okay? I find myself very interesting. I'm never boring. There's a million things I could do. I have, like, a really good mind. Yeah. I like to be alone. I have good energy when I'm alone. I don't care if I eat, don't eat. I'm never in a bad mood when I'm by myself, by the way. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when I'm near people, I'm an empath, and I have to feel all their bad moods, all their problems are my problem, la, 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 la. And so I don't necessarily want to be near people because I'm happy and they're not. And then I'm going to feel their unhappiness. But so I want you to be happy when you're by yourself, you know, and fulfilled onto yourself. But I want you to be a little lonely to the extent that you have a lot of love to give. Love given to you. It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Givers need to give. If you're a giver, now if you're a taker, you can stay alone. It's because all you do is take. You know, you don't need to, like, really have a relationship. You just need transactional relationships where you, what do you do for me, what do I do for you? But if you're a giver, you really need to give. Do you realize you have a lot of love to give?
Yes, that I do know. So I think that's where you're, I'm happy alone too, but I also know that I do have a lot of love to give.
So that's why we're going to, like, be in your jaded state for another minute or two and then decide that's not who I want to be. I don't want to believe. And maybe, you know, when people first maybe meet me and I talk about, you know, the 7 out of 10 not so great people, they may think that I'm jaded. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a realist. Okay. And I realistically know that certain people will hurt me. The Dr. Jekyll's Mr. Hyde, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. We can usually control them. And if we keep our eyes open, we can usually bring out the best in them most of the time. It's just a total unfixable, it's a total manipulative, judgmental, not accountable people. And at your age, they reveal themselves really quickly. And in America right now, people aren't even pretending to be nice. Okay, it used to be we had to figure it out. They seemed real nice. They were polite. They snowed us on that. People don't even pretend to be nice.
No.
They wear their narcissism on their sleeve nowadays. So you don't even have to be a genius to figure it out anymore. It's just there. So I do see love in the future for you, but also you're an older soul and you had to stand on your own 2 feet without a man for a while, emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually. And that's when the prince comes. Okay, when we're needy, when we have fears of abandonment, that only gets us toxic love. So, you know, be a lover to yourself for a while, self-love, treat yourself to some things, treat yourself to a little something, get a facial, a massage, you know, get your nails done, whatever little treating you want to do to yourself, for yourself, and be that lover to yourself. Be happy unto yourself, but I don't think you'd be happy to spend the rest of your life alone, and sometimes you have to know who you are. There are some people who can be perfectly happy, and that's fine, but I don't think you're one of them. So open your heart a little bit and, you know, recognize that you maybe didn't always pick the best people. And also to keep your heart open, you're going to have to forgive yourself. I think you're mad at yourself for some of your bad judgment calls. And that self-forgiveness is what's the hardest lesson for any of us. We always forgive everybody too easily and too often, but we never forgive ourselves. So if you forgive yourself that you made a mistake, you should have seen the writing on the wall sooner, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's fine, you didn't. And self-forgiveness a little bit here too. And so, you know, I'm glad you asked that question because it's a really big question because I think the world right now, people are just shutting down and closing their hearts. And that's why so many relationships are not really getting off the ground or working. And so many people are just so happy or more, they don't want to even get out in that dating game anymore, so they stay home all the time. So how is anybody going to meet anybody if everybody stays home all the time? So, you know, get yourself out there. And,
all right, I'll do it. Cindy.
Okay, and don't you want your children to see a better version of love? They haven't seen a great version here. So if you show them love started out and then it sucked and there's nothing else, you think they're going to want love in their life?
No.
No way. So even if you were content to spend the rest of your life alone, think about what you taught your children or teaching your children with that.
Yes.
So,
thank you, Cindy.
Well, keep calling in because you always ask the best questions. And, you
Nicole,
know, and Nicole can chime in on this one. Nicole was the most jaded person when I met her. Like, beyond
no.
jaded, okay? Beyond
Not
jaded.
Me.
There's nothing worse than a jaded lesbian, by the way, because they're really jaded, okay? And she was like a hard nut to crack.
What's even more horrible about that is that I was jaded from both sexes because I wasn't always a lesbian. So.
Oh, that's true. I forgot
that
about
jaded.
That. That's true. She just hated everybody. Okay,
I
across
hated
the board,
the
male,
village.
Female, anything. She just hated everybody and
I
was jaded.
It. I hate everybody equally. It's fine.
Right, she did. And then slowly, her heart began to open, baby steps at a time, with her.
Very
and just and just taking on this show was an opening for her. Like she just began to open her heart and speak and share her pain. And sometimes you need to share your pain, right, Nicole, and get it out of you.
Yes. Yeah.
And
sometimes.
And then she got her higher love. So.
And then I put
probably,
on my big girl pants. Don't forget about my big girl pants.
Uh-huh, and I think there was a stage in my life when I was the most jaded person on earth as well. That's what we go through. And sealing off your heart a little bit for a while. But if you're by nature an open-hearted person, you're going against your nature to seal it off and close it. You really are. And we don't want to go against our nature.
No.
You know, we want to make sure. So I think Jennifer's going to find love. So, you know, keep on looking. And let
keep,
God bring
I'll
it for you.
I'll keep it posted.
Keep us posted. We're not going anywhere. We're here. once in a while, we don't show up. Okay, but we're basically here by clockwork most Thursdays at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thanks for that question, and we'll try to get another caller. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I think that was a really good question on today for the 2020, right? Because this year of open hearted. And seeing with clear vision. And sometimes it seems clear vision and open-hearted might be a contraindicated, but it really isn't. So that was a very good question. Now, who is here? Who else? Now, can you tell me about this caller? It is a new one. We've ever spoken to her?
No, I do not believe that we've spoken with her. Her name is Betty, and she is calling us from wonderful West Coast San Francisco. And she wants to know, she just has got a career question, Cindy. She wants to know if you see her making a move within her career. Should she change jobs? I mean, she's looking for some career advice. So let's go out to
Betty. Okay, we love those,
Betty.
Too.
Oh, absolutely. Hello, Betty. You're on the air.
Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Betty. Well, just asking us, should we change a career? Means you should. Okay. Like, people who love their career, don't ask me, should I change? People who love their husbands, don't ask me if I should change husbands. But you're an older soul as well, and older souls like the devil they know. So sometimes it's hard for an older soul to move on from a job. But do you feel like you've learned all you can in this career at this point?
Yes, I have.
And are you getting bored?
Yeah, I think I'm actually in marketing and I love it, and international marketing. And I might have the opportunity to get a promotion and going into just the general working with the higher level person. So I don't know. I really love my team here. So I'm kind of like torn whether I should do it or not do it.
Well, you're also a little afraid because this is like a big leap forward for you. And older souls have a little bit of an imposter syndrome, which sabotages them, makes them think, maybe, can I do this, not do this? It looks like you would be very successful in doing it. That's A. B, I know you don't want to necessarily move on, but, you know, it looks like you're going to get antsy in this job in another year or so. Like, you want to do something else. And it's a really good opportunity. I hope you know it's a really good opportunity for you here, money-wise and liking it. It looks stressful, but I don't think your job right now is not stressful. I think you have stress in there too. And, you know, how long have you worked with these particular people?
With my group, this particular group for international marketing, it's going to go on 4 years.
Right, because relationships tend to work in five-year cycles. So it looks like 4 onto 5, you would start having some changes anyway. So maybe some of these people will want to move on or do different things too. So, you know, I know you don't want to leave them, but could you still be friends with them even if you don't?
Oh, of course. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right, because I don't see you losing these people in your life. You know what I mean? They're there. But it doesn't look easy, but it looks like you would probably love it in the long run. You know, you could also pick the path that, you know, a younger soul would probably say, I'm happy where I am. I make okay money. I love the people I work with. So that's good enough for me, and I don't want to go anywhere. I'm going to stay here till I retire. An older soul, for some reason, has to always learn something new. And I think it's because we take the knowledge that we acquire with us to the other side. So we're always trying to get knowledge. And once we get bored, we get a little antsy. So we always have this, like, pushing us forward thing going on. And yet we like the devil we know. So that kind of pulls us back. But, I mean, if you stay where you are, I don't see you being unhappy or anything like that. I just see you might feel less challenged. But if you can deal with
that. That's how I feel at the moment.
I mean, if you don't mind being not challenged, I don't see how it looks to me like you like challenges. But
oh, for sure.
And they've offered it to you, you know, because you really can do the job. So with things like this, you have to do the pros and cons of things. Have you done it, like, maybe sit down with a list of the pros of staying and, you know, the pros of leaving and the cons of...
I actually haven't taken that step yet.
Because when you do it, it's just a mathematical equation. If there were so many more pluses in staying where you are, and then you might stay put. But if you just start seeing, you know, wow, there's all this other opportunity, and the thing about you is it's almost damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like it's good either way, kind of here. It's not it's not a bad thing to stay. It's not a bad thing to go. It just looks more like the challenge is something that you might find really interesting for yourself.
Okay.
And do you know the people you'll be working with?
It would be one individual.
And do you like that person?
Well, I've actually haven't really spoken to him, or I've met him one-on-one, but he once in a while will do some speeches for our company, and I hear he's a nice guy, but who knows?
Right, and again, that's a little scary too, you know, but it looks like you'll follow your heart on this one. If you just love the people you work with so much, that's a valid reason to stay where you are. You know, that's not a bad reason.
Okay.
You know, if you're not moving forward because you're afraid to, because I don't know, it's unknown and the challenge, that might call for a little bit of courage to go forward with it. And, you know, you don't have any bad cards. You actually have the Wheel of Fortune spinning. You have a very good 5-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours. The universe is just saying, let us know what you want. And we'll bring it to you.
Oh, that sounds good.
No, it's really good. But it's a little scary to be in that place because you're sort of the master of your destiny now. I mean, sometimes when we don't move forward fast enough and we're supposed to move out, you know, if you stayed in this particular job that you have now, maybe at the 5-year mark something would happen to move you forward or the universe would force you to move forward. It's always a little better when we do it on our own. So older souls don't like being the one to make the change so much. You know, they'll accept change thrust on them, like they have no choice. But when they have to make the change, they kind of like weigh the consequences too long, and it's hard for them to make a decision. So, again, is it much better? Is the other job better money?
Yes.
Because it looks like it could be significantly better in the future, too. So...
I mean, but then again, I don't want it. I don't want to just make a decision only because of the money.
Right.
I
exactly.
Be able
That's
to,
why
I want my I want to be able to my heart to be able to tell me what you know, which way I should go.
Right. Exactly. And that's why, if you just love these people so much and that it's so worth it to stay there, then you stay there. You know what I mean? Again, it does look like in the future you'd be moved forward anyway, some one way or anyway. But you know, if you're happy with the people, you love them, that's a valid reason for staying, because you're staying out of love. It's not fear. You know what I mean? Sometimes you, if you're not moving forward, I'm afraid, I'm not going to like it, I'm afraid of the unknown, that's not good. But it's always hard to leave a job when we really do like people, by the way, because it's not always the case with a lot of jobs.
Totally.
Most
it's almost
people
like you're leaving a family.
They don't like people. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't like the people they work for or with.
Mm-hmm. No,
and
I love these people.
What I would do is because, you know, it's funny with being a psychic, I'm, you know, it's free will. I'm not really allowed to interfere with people's free will. I'm allowed to guide them or give them. But why don't you turn this one over to God and your spirit guides and let them give you a clear sign in the next few days? Now, it might be that that person you got to work with calls you up, or you hear something lunatic about that person, you know, or, you know, the universe will usually give us a sign which way to go when we ask.
Okay.
Now, like you say, look, I don't, you know, I'm turning this over to you, God, because I don't really know what's best for me. Can you guide me what's best for me and say thy will be done and let God kind of guide it for you?
Okay.
Because, you know, sometimes we just don't know. And it's not a nice position to be in. It's like two pretty good choices, you know.
Right.
You know, it's not like two bad choices, which is so, and you're very good at your job, by the way. You're very good at your job. And marketing is an important job. It's something God wants older souls to learn how to do. Because in this world, you can build it, but they're not going to come unless you flick it up. So marketing is extremely important and something that everyone, you know, most people don't market themselves well enough, and that's why they don't get better jobs or move forward. So I'm glad that you're in marketing. Why don't you let us know what you decide on and how you came to that decision and if you were guided to make the decision.
Sure.
Because, again, I don't think you'd be wrong to do either one. But if you really love these people, then, of course, you know, love always seems to be the deciding factor. You know, how much we love.
Okay, I will definitely call you.
Call us and let us know, because you're not the only person. Like, I've had, like, two readings today with people in a similar situation as you with work. And they're torn, you know, and they also you're very loyal. And I think the people that you work with will miss you a lot, you know, and... But again, the decision is really yours. So you'll call in and you'll let us know.
Oh, great! Thank you so much, Sandy.
Good luck to you.
Thank
you. Bye.
Good night. Bye bye.
If anyone would like to talk to us, we have a lot of callers, but we don't have a lot of people pressing one. And
a lot of people pressing one.
No, we don't right now. And so if anyone would like to talk to us, otherwise you're just going to have to talk to Nicole and I, like hear us chit-chat.
Oh, dear Lord.
Now
I got to talk to Cindy. What are you guys doing to me?
We got a 516. Is that a new one?
Oh, look at that. We did get a 516. We will go out to that caller just so that you know we're talking to you. Last four digits are 5367. Let's see who's waiting.
Hello, 5367.
Oh.
You are on the air.
Hi.
Oh, who are you, that pretty high voice? Who is this?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. So where are you calling from? We know Long Island, but are you in, it looks like Nassau County.
Yeah, correct, Valley Stream.
Oh, Valley Stream. I used to teach belly dancing in Valley Stream in the continuing education for many years.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
For many years. It was so fun. I also taught aerobics there for many years. So that was a fun thing. And when I moved from Merrick to out east, I couldn't do it anymore because it was just too far to travel, but I did it for more than 10 years, so I know Valley Stream very well.
Awesome. I like that. And those are fun activities too.
Oh, yeah. So, Nancy, what made you call into our show tonight?
I'm just feeling a bit confused as far as, like, relationships. I was dating someone last year, and I really shouldn't bet. I never felt before for anyone else. And I thought I was over it, but for some reason, he continuously comes to mind. I'm like, I don't know, I guess I'd given up on him because at this point, like, he was the one who broke it off. And I don't know, like, what's there? What's happening next?
Okay, that's an interesting question because you called into the right show. Now, when you first
yes.
met him, you had, like, this recognition factor, right? Like, you always knew
yes.
him. And you felt this, it wasn't a choice of this love. Like, you feel, when you meet these people, you just love, you feel a heart connection, a soul brings out the best in you, a mind connection. You like talking to him and a body connection. So you have
right.
that whole heart, soul, mind, body.
Yeah.
And it's not unusual for, you know, 45% of people offered soulmate love. Not all love is soulmate. Some is just a man
right.
to fit a plan. My eggs are old. I want to get married. It's not a great love affair. You're a lot of generations, the younger generations play on the Tinder level, the interchangeable,
mm-hmm.
like let me have you tonight and throw you away. Any
right.
love can go down the ladder of love, even as far as toxic. But soulmate is offered to 45% of people. But unfortunately, only 1% of people maintain it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
because soulmate love demands healing your issues. And
yeah.
normally the first 3 to 6 months, the love is so strong, it overcomes fear and someone throws himself into it. The 6 months to a year and sometimes the fear kicks in. At what point did he break this off in the relationship?
So we kind of waited. We went out twice. So the first time we met through online dating. The first time we lasted for a month and a half before he ghosted me. Then
mm-hmm.
he came back and I was very, I hesitated a bit because I felt the connection right away and then he just, boom, disappeared. So I was a bit more careful and I didn't really let him in too quickly. But then slowly he kind of won me over and I thought that he was really determined to make it work. So the second time it was 3 months and then boom, same story all over again. And I'm
okay.
just like, you know, I've been hurt so many times from the same person. Why is he still coming to my mind?
Right. Now you can see that what the 3 month mark is when the fear kicks
right.
in. I mean, what happens
right.
is, you know, ghosting is a very big 21st century phenomena. I'm like not a fan of ghosting. I talk about it quite a lot in this show, but ghosting, when someone can ghost you, it shows me that they have to be a narcissist, okay, because it's
right.
about them. Like, I couldn't ghost somebody. I couldn't even ghost you not answering an email, okay? I don't ghost anybody,
right.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ghosting, you have to be, it's about you. Like, say you felt fear, and it's not unusual to feel fear with a higher love because it's scary. Now, he wasn't rejecting you. He was rejecting the higher love you offered him. He didn't want to heal his issue. But,
right.
you know, you couldn't do this to someone. Like, if your fear kicked in, you would probably say to him, look, I don't know why I'm so scared, but, you know, I want to try to work on this and maybe get your ass to therapy and figure it out. But you wouldn't just
right.
disappear. Now, the just disappearing is because they don't know if they fear loving. He didn't know if he feared loving you or losing you. You know,
right.
so if he said anything wrong, you know, he could lose you. If he says nothing and disappears, he thinks he could come back. And believe me, men do this all the time, and women do it quite frequently too. To each other. But men just think they just learned you can disappear, and women will take you back. Like I'm
right.
really mad at women for allowing people to like ghost and then let them come back, you know,
right.
and I think plenty of women do this to men, but it's really more, I see men doing it more than
mm-hmm.
I do. Okay. But if you're a man that it's happened to, I'm sorry that it's happened to you, but the disappearing like that is something that, you know, then they come back because they want to see if they still got us. And what they do is
yeah.
they, in record time, they wine and dine us and bring it back and we get suckered back in and then they do it again.
Right.
So, and commitment phobics, he's a commitment phobic. Now,
right.
commitment phobics are otherwise nice people that do something cruel. What he did is cruel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
right.
ghost people in the height of love. It wasn't like you were fighting. And half the time it happens,
right.
you know, people, they just make love for the first time and they're very intimate. It's wonderful. And the guy disappears. Like, what the
mm-hmm.
hell's the matter with you? Like,
right.
And, you know, you can't. Sometimes when you're thinking about him, and I'm going to get to your question, like why you can't seem to get at him out of your mind, is soulmates are very telepathic, okay? And that's the energy that you would commune to someone when they die. And half the time, people are afraid of loving someone, soulmate, because they're afraid to love someone who could die on them. They don't want to open their hearts the way Jennifer was talking earlier. Sometimes people just don't want to open their heart to that kind of love. They don't want to get hurt. And yet, soulmates, because they have this telepathy, God forbid the soulmate died, he or she would be able to commune telepathically with you. Now, what you're getting is sometimes it isn't you thinking about him, it's him thinking about you. Okay, and how you'll be able to distinguish the difference is if out of the blue, with not a trigger, like not a song playing that reminds you of him or anything, but out of the blue, a thought just pops in your head. It may not be your thought. It could be coming from him to you. And the problem with someone who runs away from a soulmate love is their soul gets really rebellious. The soul's like, the hell with you. You know, if your ego can't deal with this, I love this person, I want to communicate. And the soul finds a way to communicate. The soul comes times on the dream plane. Have you ever dreamed about him at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, notice he comes on a dream plane. He comes in thought. He gives you, there's messages like a dead person gives, okay? Like, he can love you with his heart, soul, mind, but he can't love you with his body. The part of him that would die or the part of you that would die. So he looks to me, he's got massive fears of loving someone who could die on you. So meanwhile, he's loving you like he died. Who the hell needs that? You know, like, don't come to me. But his soul at night goes like this, the hell with you. I'm going to visit her at night. I don't care what you think. And all of a sudden, you're communing. It looks to me like he may resurface again. And I would advise you to ask him, what's your intention in contacting me? Okay. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, to put 2 feet in a relationship and let's try and be committed to it. If not, I don't need a friend. I don't need a booty call. Now, I have this client that I read right before I did my radio show, and he's come back, and, you know, she's a little nervous now because, and I said to her, look, there's no guarantee with a ghost or won't ghost again. Okay, like you, that is something that you can, you know, you open your heart to, okay, three strikes, you're out. I mean, if you want to give him another chance, but you have to go in there with the knowledge that unless he's been to therapy, unless he's figured out what the hell he's so afraid of, you know, and it's not that he doesn't think about you at all. So don't think that he just walked away and he's fine. The bad news for him, by the way, is he's not going to be offered another soulmate anytime soon, if ever. He's responsible for the ending of this. To ghost is a serious thing. To just destroy a soulmate love without explanation. Now, if he said to you, look, you're probably the love of my life and I'm all fucked up and I can't do this. Sorry, forgive me. You would at least say, well, I didn't make this up. I'm not crazy. And your heart and soul would find some peace with that closure. But to just disappear... Often as people say, well, did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong? What, you know, did I make this up? Okay, did I make this up? There was not a connection. I made it up. It makes people crazy. Okay, so his karma, if he does come back or does say anything, it would have to be that I really cared about you and I'm sorry. Okay, otherwise, you know, you're not responsible for the ending of this. He is. Okay, well, so you would be granted another soulmate. Okay. And that's
what he said to me when he came back the second time. He goes, you know, I cared about you, and that's why I just told you that I just couldn't do it. And I'm like, but that's not that's to me, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, how can you not be willing to try any, you know, like, if you feel a connection? To me, it was just bizarre. And we talked about therapy, but he was like, I just can't do it. I can't talk to someone. And I'm like, well, you sent me to therapy, so...
Right, exactly. Now notice how, well, let's bless him because he's making you heal whatever issues you might have. But the point is you're going to therapy because he gave you mixed messages. And mixed messages make people crazy. You want to make a child crazy, beat them while you tell them you love them. I mean, that's a mixed message. Okay, so he gave you mixed messages. His heart and soul and mind and body we're giving you the message that we're connected, and then his ego ran away. Like, I have an expression, hearts don't lie, people lie. Yeah. Your heart didn't lie, his heart didn't lie, okay? But he did. And so you're going to therapy to try to figure out this situation, and what I'm trying to do is, like, one good tarot card reading is worth 20 years of therapy to let you know that it was a soulmate connection. He ran away from it. And let's think about this. If he didn't care about you so much, did you have a good sex life with him, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, like, why wouldn't he come here and just fuck the hell out of you for a while? Okay, like, enjoy
right.
it. Have sex, you know?
Right.
He runs away because that's intimacy. And it opened him up too much, and he was afraid. And mm-hmm. so it's really, really bad when in the height of love, in the beginning of a new relationship, when someone runs, if they pull this crap after 2 years, we usually know the good, bad, and ugly of them by then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like in the height of love when everything is,
mm-hmm.
like, brand new. And so
right.
you're not the one who's responsible for this ending. He is. But now
right.
I'm going to, like, sort of switch a little on you to find out if perhaps you had been a closet commitment phobic. And maybe you were
yes.
afraid of love, okay?
I was.
Okay.
Before I met him, yes, 100%.
Okay, so why would God bring you a soulmate who is going to run? Because, you know, that is not God's intention, but it seems to me he's what I would call a transition soulmate. He's
mm-hmm.
a soulmate that they brought because they thought it's a pretty good chance this guy's going to run away afraid. But if Nancy can prove she was ready to stick her 2 feet in and commit, you've just proved to the universe, I'm no longer afraid of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've learned from this is soulmate love without commitment is pain. Did you learn that?
Yes.
So you don't want a soulmate who won't commit this time. And
mm-hmm.
now they're going to bring you the soulmate who they would have brought if you weren't afraid of commitment. If they had brought
mm-hmm.
the other guy first, you might have been the one that ran away afraid, and they were afraid if that happened, you wouldn't be granted another soulmate anytime soon. So
mm-hmm.
you've had to overcome some of your commitment phobia. I don't want you to become now a bigger commitment phobic because you got hurt. I want you to realize that if you're going to be a closet commitment phobic, then they're only going to bring you commitment phobics.
Yeah.
So you have to overcome your fear. Look, you survived. You're still standing. Okay, it's not good.
Right.
But the death of a soulmate relationship feels like a death. So imagine that you were in mourning and devastated, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to therapy. You're doing the mourning for this. He's just distracting with bullshit, by the way. He's online. He's doing stupid stuff. And he's just distracting. He's not really doing his homework. And
mm-hmm.
he's not feeling the pain. If you're wondering why it doesn't hurt him so much, sometimes people just drink, they smoke pot, they go online dating, they look at porn, they do all kinds of things to distract from
mm-hmm.
feeling pain. And older souls, you're a very old soul, can't just distract. They
mm-hmm.
feel the pain. And so you're going to be granted a soulmate. I need you to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's the first
okay.
guy, so be it. If it's someone else, let the universe bring it. But
mm-hmm.
your own fears, I don't want it to be like what Jennifer was talking about. I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show.
Yeah.
But
right.
who closes her heart now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and remember, if you hadn't been a closet commitment phobic yourself, they probably would have brought you the soulmate they want to bring now from the beginning. But again, they
right.
weren't sure that you wouldn't get so scared and you would run.
But I would be strong enough at this point to turn this guy away if he were to come back, just to run away again.
Well, it would be up to you. Like, if
yeah.
he comes back, you would just, you know, be prepared he could run again. But
right.
he would have to come back in a way that he has an epiphany, okay, that somehow he can say to you, look, I was afraid to love somebody who could die in me. I don't know. I was afraid that I wasn't good enough
right.
for you. I was afraid. Like, if he comes up with the reasons, he can't just say, I don't know why I did, you know, that's not good enough. But if a person
right.
came back with full knowledge, and sometimes it happens if you just don't talk to them, it's a wake-up call. But I see he's doing a lot of distraction. He looks like he's doing a lot of online dating, and he's not really doing his inner homework.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him to drink, by the way?
Not that much.
Okay.
Occasionally.
Do you know he's a smoke pot?
No, definitely
okay.
not.
So it looks to me like he's just distracting online dating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so now he's going to go, like, you know, the interchangeable love. You get meet one and it looks good for 2 months and then it just
right.
doesn't work, but you leave it. He must have been looking for a soulmate, or they wouldn't have brought you to him. He must have had some thought he wanted a lasting relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And how old is this man, by the way?
35.
Okay, that's the generation that does a lot of ghosting. Because, you know, when you're 35 and you're with a woman and she's a soulmate, it has to be like, I have to grow up now.
Right.
Like, maybe this is marriage. Maybe this is the long haul. And
right.
Your generation of men are terrified of love, terrified of commitment. And what's been channeled to me in the last year was, Cindy, have no patience with these men doing this to women. Used to keep telling them, go back with them, give them another chance, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
God is like, these men are going to deprive women of motherhood with what they're doing. And
right.
Like, if you want to be deprived of everything, stay with a commitment phobic because they won't commit or anything. And,
right.
You know, it's just not right what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you wanted to see what he did the third time, I mean, after three times, it's stretcher, it would, but you would have to go there with the talk to him. Look, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I would tell someone, you have to be a narcissist to have done this to me. I could never do this to someone. I could not hurt somebody. I couldn't look in my soulmate's eyes and break their heart. I couldn't disappear to someone. I couldn't do that to a human being. Like, that's a cruel thing to do. And I can't stress it enough. And a lot of women are now ghosting a lot, men. And I don't know, your generation seems to think it's okay. Well, if I didn't really like him, I ghosted him. Well, okay. So you didn't really like him and you ghosted him. That's a rude thing to do. Why can't you have some courage and just say, look, I'm not feeling it. You're a really nice guy. I wish you luck. Why do you just ghost? Because if you do that, it's going to eventually happen to you, and it might happen in a big whammy way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're online dating, do not think that that's okay for you to just disappear from people. Okay? You know, you have to be polite. You have to treat people with respect because it's really hurting a lot of people. Now, I do kind of see like he may resurface sooner than later. What do you want to do?
I don't know. I just feel like upset with my own self, knowing everything that I've been through and everything that he put me through. Like, I'm still thinking about him. It's just like, why am I still, he's still in my mind. And like, it upsets me because I do want to move on. But for some reason, like, especially this month, he's been on my mind constantly, which is, it was a bit surprising because it's been a few months since I hadn't thought about him.
Okay. Now,
and,
remember, we never fall out of loving a soulmate. We fall out of liking them.
Right.
You don't like him anymore, okay? If you're going to try to stop loving him, it's a waste of your energy. But you're going to have to love him like he died. If he died, wouldn't you love him with your heart, soul, mind? You just couldn't put your body with him because he's dead. So if someone dies, we don't stop loving them. And yet we recognize we can't see them on the earth plane. And so if you're trying to stop loving him, it's only going to make your soul, like, make you think about him more. Okay, so you don't have to stop loving him. You fell out of liking him. And the only cure for really ending the pain of the loss of a soulmate is to be brought another soulmate of equal or higher quality. And that's what will be here. And so when you're brought another soulmate, and once you've had a soulmate, a taste of a soulmate, it's why you want one again. Because even though it hurt you, bless this man that you thought you would have soulmate was like. Otherwise, you might have settled for a nice man to fit a plan. He seems like a great guy, makes money, treats you wonderfully. And you wouldn't have known about this heart, soul, mind, body connection. So bless this God let you know what a soulmate is, too, with this.
Right.
So there's good things to learn. But just maybe it's comforting to know that you don't have to stop loving him. You know, and that if you're going to do that, you're just wasting your energy.
Right.
And you're
going to
be
blocking
all of your psychic abilities and blocking everything. So, you know, everything you're feeling is typical of someone who's experienced a soulmate who has ghosted in the height of love. And I make most of my money on with people coming here who've never been to a psychic, who've never been in therapy in their life, men or women who have fallen in love with a soulmate and they have ghosted them. And it's such a devastation, but look at it this way. It makes them open their heart and their soul to learn about something they never knew about, and just start wanting a higher love. So, Nancy, would you do us a favor and call in again, particularly if he should resurface?
Right. Okay.
And,
absolutely.
And two, some of what I said will go in, and maybe you can listen to the show in the archive again, because I gave a lot, threw a lot out at you, like to hear it once.
Right.
But believe me, what you're feeling is normal, and you're not crazy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a person who's someone did something very cruel to.
Right.
So I'm glad that you called in today, and you know, keep us posted and call in again. And how did you hear about our show, by the way?
I actually went to you over the summer, and then I was receiving the emails as a reminder.
Because I thought you were the Nancy from the summer. Okay, that's why I'm asking you. Okay, all of a sudden I'm like, wait. I'm registering Nancy Soul. I think I've read her before. Okay, so you are that wonderful Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you took advantage of the show, because that's what it's for. Like that, you know, just and you sharing your experience really helps other listeners out there, you know, who are going through the same thing, you know.
Right.
And let us know again what happens, and, you know, and thanks for calling into our show.
Well, thank you very much. It was always a pleasure hearing you and just listening to your wisdom. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. All right, Nicole. So it's a done deal, huh?
It is a done deal.
It's a done deal. And wasn't she wonderful?
Yes.
And
yes,
she's so smart, isn't she?
Yes.
She's such a smart girl. And you know, this whole ghosting thing, you know, that gets me going.
It gets on your nerves, I notice.
Sometimes,
you know what? I can tell that it gets on your nerves. You want to know why? Because I ghosted you last week, and you were not happy about it.
Well, no, you ghosting me, I was like, I thought this. Maybe she just, like, having hot sex with Lisa and forgot about it, or she's sleeping.
Okay.
I knew if you were ghosting me, I was thinking it has to be a good reason. That reason you gave wasn't so great, so maybe I am mad at you about ghosting me.
It wasn't so great.
Okay, but you can always ghost me if you're having hot sex, okay?
Okay, perfect.
But other than that, no, but you didn't ghost me. That's not ghosting. That's just like, I'm busy, okay? And I didn't mean to do it. And also, you know that I'm very telepathic, so you probably just said, Cindy, I can't do this, and you thought I heard it, and I did. So.
No, pretty much.
Pretty much. But no. You, I don't consider
ghosting. In my head,
ghosting.
I told you.
No. That's not ghosting.
In my head, it's
okay.
In reality. I was
ghosting
my head
is a
head.
Ghosting is a deceptive intention, okay, and done with deliberate intent. What you did was, I forgot. That's not ghosting. That's just, I forgot. That's not bad. It's deliberate intention of ignoring someone. That's the difference. Remember, we always talk about on this show, what is your intention? Your intention certainly wasn't to hurt me, okay?
No, not at all. Never.
Okay, so you see the difference between ghosting and being stupid and forgetting something? There's a big difference.
Yeah. Wow, you just called me stupid and it was so loving.
I knew you would catch that too.
It was such a loving way to call me stupid. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
But no, you're absolutely correct, Cindy. And obviously, I was very, very sorry.
Okay, well, keep me posted and with everything that's happening with you, too. And
yes,
good night, everybody, and we'll speak next week.
Good night, Cindy.
Bye.